more than enough. Yes, Lord. Jireh. You're more than enough. You're the God who sees. God who knows. God who meets every need. According to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that is more than enough. Thank you, Lord, for overflowing grace. Thank you, Lord, for overwhelming grace. Thank you, Lord, for grace that is more than sufficient. We give you praise. Surrender our lives to you. We say, God, more than enough, God, manifest the grace of more than enough in every area of our lives, that we might give to you all praise, worship, and adoration forever. Thank you, Father, for supernatural eyesight, supernatural hearing. Thank you, Lord, for grace to walk, think, and do like you do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for every one of you who've taken time tonight to participate in this service, our Bible study service. And I want to remind you about the special meetings that are going to be starting this Friday at 6:30 p.m. that we, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, have captioned as the Spiritual Reset Conference. I'm believing God to help us reset, to step away from the dilapidated ways of self-righteousness and works that are not based on faith and every other foolish way that we have embarked on, and the things that we have not done that we should be doing, that there will be a reset for every one of us so that we flow through the mind of Christ and fulfill His divine mandate over our lives in this age and in this time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are studying through the book of Ephesians. We're in the second chapter, and I believe we did go as far as the sixth verse, and possibly even the seventh last time. But we'll take it up from the sixth verse. So Ephesians 2 and 6. Now, before we delve into this passage of Scripture, there's something that we have to bear in mind, and it is this, that when we are looking at the Scriptures, we must not look at the Scriptures based on our natural thinking, because based on our natural thinking, what we talk about in the Scriptures become foolishness, become impossible, become outrageous, become nonsense, wishful thinking, and on and on. When we look at the Scriptures, we must not measure it with what we know in the natural. We must measure it based on how God thinks. His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not ours. It is our sinful ways that cause us to miss the mark. God says to us that we all sinned and fell short of the glory of God, the glory of God being all that God is. Every one of us fell short of that glory. And what the Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish is to lift us up back to where we were in glory with him. We're born out of glory. We fell short of that glory. And we are being reinstated to that glory. And therefore, we must divorce ourselves from a deglorified state. We must divorce ourselves from sinful thinking, sinful ways of thinking, sinful ways of assimilating that which is true. We must begin to think the God kind of way. So the Lord says to us in Mark 11, he says, have faith in God or have God's kind of faith. Have the God kind faith that says to mountains, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubting in our hearts, but believing that those things which we say shall come to pass, and we will have what we say. So we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I need to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. You need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And therefore, being renewed in the spirit of our mind, we know that we are not subjected to the control of time, space, matter, whatever it is in the natural, that those can be superseded by a God kind of faith. I don't think the Lord Jesus Christ thought twice and said, is this water going to hold me up if I try to walk on it? I don't think he ever had that. He saw himself as a true man of God, one who came from God. And so he did things that in the natural seemed improper or impossible. You and I need to come to that place where we begin to think in those terms. For as a man thinketh, so is he. I need my change. You need your change. We all need this spiritual reset. We do. Because when we have that, we are no longer subject to natural laws. That no longer has superseding power over us. But we have superseding power over it. That takes a lot of change. And that change is possible by grace. Grace. Grace is that factor that enables me, empowers me to do what I cannot naturally do. Yeah. Grace is God allowing me to live his kind of life. And so when we come to Ephesians chapter 6, or chapter 2 and verse 6, we read these words, that we have been raised up and had raised us up together. That means Like Paul put it, I am crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The life that I now live in the flesh. The life that I now live in the flesh. The life that I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith. Not my faith, but by the faith of the Son of God. Who is that? The Christ, Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I live my life. That's how you live your life. And so the word of God says, God had raised us up together. And if we're crucified with him, then we were buried with him. And what else did he do? The Bible tells us that he went to hell. So we must have gone to hell with him. And he took the keys of death and the grave and rose again from the dead. And we were raised with him. And then we ascended with him. And we are seated with him. Now, all of that we must embrace by the faith. I am far above principalities and powers. By the faith of the Son of God. I can do all things by the faith of the Son of God. I can live victoriously by the faith of the Son of God. He raised us up together. Now, not this particular passage, but a similar passage in Romans 6 and verse 3. That the Lord used to help me many years ago. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? And then verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory. The glory, that's what we fell short of. But we're raised by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. We walk in newness of life. That means we're not walking in the old ways. We're walking in a new way. This is a reset. We're operating with a new life. Moving with a new life. Now, the first time the Lord applied this particular passage of Scripture to me, I remember well, it was in August, around the 25th or 26th of August of 1981. So how come you remember that? Well, because Mama and I just had our firstborn. He was born prematurely. He weighed 3 pounds and 14 ounces. We had no money because he had to stay in the hospital for a month. At least he had to gain at least another pound and 2 ounces. He's put in an incubator. They tell me they're going to stay there. And I went to the chapel at the St. Boniface Hospital here in Winnipeg. And I was talking to God about the mess that I was in. There's this young baby fighting for his life. He was going to have to stay there for a month or so. I had no money to pay for the bills. I had no insurance. We just come into the country. And I'm in the chapel at the St. Boniface Hospital talking to God. God, What am I going to do? This is a big situation. We don't have the money to pay this bill. What am I going to do? And the Lord spoke to me. Said, read Romans 6, verse 4. I looked for a Bible in the chapel. Couldn't find one. I went upstairs and thank God for Gideon's. They had a Bible in the hospital room where Mama was. I grabbed that Bible and opened feverishly to Romans 6, 4. God has spoken to me. This is going to be amazing. And I read those words. Therefore, we're buried with him, together with him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. And if I was ever angry, I lost it. I lost it. God, I spent time talking to you about my problem. You finally speak up and you give me this nonsense passage. What does this have to do with my problem? Thank God he wasn't as mad as I was. He would have just killed me right at the very moment. What do you mean? What is this? But the God who is merciful and patient asked me a few questions. He said, what was the likeness of my resurrection? I said, well, showed up wherever it is you wanted to show up. Distance was not a problem. The Lord asked me a question, another question. Do you think this problem from the point where you are now, where this bill is, and the time that you're going to pay for this bill, that does some distance in time? I said, yeah. I still didn't get it yet. What else? I said, you went through walls. You showed up inside the room. You didn't need the door. And he asked me, do you think that this problem that you're facing right now is like a big wall in front of you that you cannot go through? I said, yeah. Then if you died, were buried, were raised in the same likeness, then you'll do the same thing. Wow! The passage flipped itself on me. That's right. God is going to help me go through this thing like hot knife through butter. Distance is going to be bridged. Wow! Yes! From being angry, I was now celebrating and rejoicing. And would you know, God saw us through that whole situation. One of the things that happened was certain things had not fully formed in our son's body, and they were going to do surgery on his body, this little body. I said to the doctor, hold off. He said, what do you think is going to happen overnight? I said, hold off till the morning. What do you think is going to happen? I said, just hold off. Don't touch him. Because he had not stooled, he not passed out whatever it is that we're putting in him, and they needed to do that surgery. And so Mama and I talked to God together. The next morning, when they were ready to go do the surgery, there was the poop. Whatever had not formed properly was in place. God had done it. God was doing miracles. And what am I saying to you? God cares about every single detail. And if you've been raised up together, then you have received this grace of God on your life. We were raised up together, and therefore we ascended together. And we're going to find out later on that we are seated together with him. How did Jesus, our Lord, rise? He just stepped on a cloud and rode. How can a cloud hold you? What's the point to us? The point to us is this, that which seems to be impossible is possible for you and for me. That we must not make decisions based on what is natural. We are not natural people. We are supernatural people. Yes, we may live in a physical, mortal body, but there is a God who quickens our mortal bodies now, not down the line, now. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Many years ago, a dear sister, she's gone home to be with the Lord now. It's a pastor friend in Toronto, a church that we'd ministered in. She called, she says, my brother is an atheist and he's on his deathbed. Mentioned some disease that I didn't understand. What does that mean? Said, his lungs are hardened. He cannot breathe. Will you go and pray with him? But I have to warn you, he's an atheist. So I took off in a vehicle that the Lord had blessed us with. I went to the hospital. I came into the room. And I said to this man, he was maybe in his 60s, something like that, late 50s, 60s. I said to him, your sister sent me here to pray with you. But before you say anything, I want to tell you something. I said to him, I drove here in a Chrysler van. It's a caravan. I said, you know what? If there's anything wrong with that van, I take the van to Chrysler and they fix it. They take off the damaged part and they put new parts in there. And he's just looking at me. And I said to him, you know what the Word of God says in Psalm 139? He says that God has parts. He has everything numbered. And you need new lungs. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to place an order for brand new lungs for you. Would that be okay? And the guy is looking at me. Go. Do that? Say, yeah. See, Psalm 139, verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, what made me up, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I say, I'm going to place an order. And I'm going to ask the angels of God to put these new lungs inside of you. And I prayed a short prayer. It was less than a minute. I said, I'll see you. Bye. I walked out. God granted him two brand new lungs. And he came to this church. Still remember when he came, he was sitting just there. And he testified right here in this house about how God gave him brand new lungs. He said, when you left, Something happened. All of a sudden, I heard some commotion, and I'm looking around, what's happening? This light came inside my room. And something happened. I said, breathe in properly. You see, that is a supernatural God that does things like that. God is faithful. If he can do that for a man who is an atheist, what will he do for you who believe that God is well able to meet every need in your life according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? The God we serve is not limited. No, he's not. And he's saying that if you and I were raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and as it will say later on, far above all principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, then my thinking's got to change from the limitation of man and the limitations and the influence of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, that operates through natural systems, that includes the media, to pollute my thinking, to pollute my mind, to pollute the way I approach life, that I must see myself far above that. I'm not in this realm. If it is bringing things into the natural realm and limitations in the natural realm, I must go beyond that. That is how the Lord Jesus thought. So he lived. That's why he was not scared by 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women or the children. We were raised up so that the God kind of life can flow in and through us. That's how, when I had no money in my pocket, and I had a van whose transmission was busted, that thing couldn't move from the first gear. Busted. Started. Doesn't change. Just stuck. I took it to, I think it's called Seven Oaks Transmission or whatever it is on Mark Phillips. I took it down there, and I said to the guy, the transmission shop, I said, can you drain the oil? My transmission needs oil. Can you change the oil? The guy says, that's not what your problem. Your transmission is busted. I said, just change the oil. The guy cracked up laughing. I said, stop laughing. Just change the oil for me. He said, that's not going to change anything. He said, tell you what, I will change it for you for free. I said, I didn't even have enough money to pay that either. Talking about living broke, but believing God, the God who is more than enough, the God who doesn't minister to you based on how much you have in your pocket, but based on his riches in glory. Anyway, cut a long story short, the guy emptied as best as possible the oil from the transmission, shows me all the metal chips from the transmission, and says, you see, this is why this thing doesn't move. I said, just change it. So they put new oil in there. I reversed the car. And I drove away. My daughter Ashley was a little kid at that time. I drove away. And that car kept on driving until got rid of it. Living in the realm of the supernatural supersedes natural laws. And the Word of God is telling us here that when we were raised up together, we were made to sit together in heavenly places. That in the ages to come, the ages meaning from the point whence you were raised into this realm, He might show the exceeding riches. He might show the exceeding riches of His grace, His enabling power, in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Yes, I can testify of the goodness and the kindness of God. He raised us up to show us. He raised me up to show me the exceeding riches of His grace. Now, the question then is this. If God has raised you and I up, are we looking to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, to see the exceeding riches of His grace? The exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That is the question. What are you? Are you looking? Are you seeing what He's showing? Or are you looking more at the things that the world has to offer and turning away from the goodness of God? You see, if you allow the circumstances in your life to control you, you lose sight of the benefits that God has been already manifesting in your life. You lose sight of it. You start grappling for stuff, like the man who's drowning, trying to hold on to foam. That doesn't help you. No, it doesn't. You and I need to focus our attention on the one who has raised us up . For by grace are ye saved. You saved by the grace of God. That enabling power of God. God giving to me that which I don't deserve. That's God's grace in action. I didn't deserve this. There's nothing that I did to get this power, to get this wonderful experience. God graciously gave it. God gave it. God gave it to empower you and I to live in faith. Now, I have used very natural examples of how God has helped to supersede natural laws. But the greatest natural law that God supersedes is the natural law of sin. You and I cannot live uprightly in our own ability, but God's grace comes and helps us if we will accept the grace of God and recognize that we're crucified with Him. And if you got crucified, you died with Him. You died to sin. You were buried with Him. That means you went to hell with Him. Hallelujah. So guess what? If you went to hell with Him, you don't need to go back, do you? If you died with Him, watch this, and the price for sin was paid by His dying, then when Jesus paid the price for your sin, you in Him were paying the price for your sin. Because you died with him. Together. What does together mean? He said, Pastor, do you mean that I born 2020 or the year 2000 or the year 1950 or the year 2014 or the year 1945 or whatever year you were born, that God saw me dying with Christ? Yes. How? By faith. God stepped to the past. All the sins have been committed in the past, pulled it onto Jesus. All the sins that were happening that very moment, pulled it to the Lord Jesus. All the sins happening in the years to come, pulled it all to him. And he took all sin. But not all, just all the sin, all people. Took everyone to be with him right there at the cross. And it is by faith that you accept that you were there with him, that you died with him, that you were buried with him, that you rose again from the dead with him, that you ascended with him, and that you are seated with him. But the catch is this. It was being seated far above principalities and powers. Who are these principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness? Your accuser. The one that keeps on accusing you and saying all kinds of evil about you and trying to make you feel this and feel that and so on and so forth, limiting you by walls and different manipulations, that you refuse to accept all of those things. And you remind yourself that God has empowered you for salvation, but not just empowered you in granting you mercy, meaning that God did not give to you that which you deserved. That's the mercy of God. You deserved hell. You deserve total destruction, but God pulled that away from you and instead gave to you what you did not deserve. His grace, first to be saved and to be forgiven, but his grace also to empower you to live the new life. It is not just getting saved. It is walking in newness of life. We need to walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is happening because of the work of grace. And how is that grace? By this grace you are saved? It is done through faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. But beyond salvation being the gift of God, faith is a gift of God. So God gives to us, every one of us, a measure of faith. That's right. The faith that you need to be saved is already given to you. When? By the entrance of the Word of God. And faith worketh by love. So the message that we bring to people, the message that we bring to ourselves, is the message of God's love. I am loved of God. And when I believe that I'm loved of God, I have faith to approach. And when I receive the gift of salvation through faith, I now continue as one who is saved from wrath and saved from that which will destroy me, which is sin, to live a new life. And that's a powerful, powerful thought to embrace as a believer. That God has forgiven me. I am saved by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. By the enabling presence and empowerment of God, you are saved through faith, which worketh by love. And that not of yourselves. You can get saved by yourself. You got saved by the grace through faith, which is the gift of God. God so loved. Remember those words? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And let us look at this next verse. Not of works. And that's key. Lest any man should boast. You can go about boasting about how I got saved because of I did this and because I did that. No, 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 no. That's foolishness. You are not saved by your works. You are saved by the grace of God through faith. You have nothing to boast about. I have nothing to boast about. No. In fact, sin was so attractive that I lived in that realm. It took grace of God for me to switch from looking at that which was flashy and shiny, that was laced with all kinds of stuff, was set up to blow me up, to look at God and turn my life over to God. And I believe that's the same for you. But now that you've made that decision to go with God, go all the way. Go all the way. Stop flirting with things that want to distract you. Go all the way with God. You see, natural things are temporal. That which is sin is temporal. Whatever it is temporal. Let me put it this way to you. Let's say, you see a nice Mercedes-Benz, really sharp looking, and you sell your soul to get that. After a few months, that which you sold your soul to go get will start fading right in front of you. After a few years, it is old. Because another model comes. But let's say, for example, you are not that any ladies will do this, but let's just assume. You this young lady, beautiful lady, and this guy, you know, that wants to marry you. And there's this other guy that comes with this nice, beautiful vehicle and has this house. And you want to live a comfortable life. But this guy over here, you don't know what's going to come up of him. You hear in God, God says, marry this one. He doesn't have anything. Devil, I rebuke you. And then you go marry this guy with his nice car and his nice house. You get married to the guy. After a few months, the love bug fades. And you guys start fighting, whatever else. One day you end up with a black eye and a blue eye and a green eye and everything. And you're using makeup to cover up all of this until your makeup runs out. And this guy gets married to whoever it is. And they start building their life and things start going on. But you and your so-called husband that you married because of his house and his car, the house has aging and things are falling apart, but you don't have enough money to fix it because, you know, He was a loser that you did not know. And that Mercedes-Benz that was brand new in 1999 is still the only car that you have, and it's now 2021. But that's what you sold your life for to get. See, things lose their value after a while. Don't sell your soul for stuff. It never pays. And you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with not of works, lest any man should boast? Good question. Point is this. If you live for works, you run yourself ragged. You think you're getting somewhere. Look at me, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this. After a while, it wears off. And the guilt of sin takes a hold again. Because you're going to do something that only the mercy and the grace of God can address. And now you're living in the world of works. Now what do? You must not step away from the precious blood that cleanses from all sin and from all unrighteousness, and hold on to God. You must never step away from that to think, I can do it by myself. Let me go to a counselor and a psychologist and a psychiatrist. Maybe if I take this medication, and maybe that might help me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Before you know it, you're doing drugs and you're in booze and you're a fornicator and an adulterer trying to hide from your pain. And that's not you. And you know it. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by the grace of God. And so never let go of that grace, because God created you and created the ability in your new man to live the way you ought to live. For we are his workmanship. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The works that God is interested in are the works that he has already created in you, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God chose you, and he puts in you the natural ability to walk in that newness of life. It is not based on your religious tradition. Well, don't wear this kind of suit. Don't wear this kind of pants. Don't put on this, you know, earring or rings, or don't wear that and don't wear this. You know, and people go through all kinds of rituals and traditions. You know, I was in a church in the early 80s in California, and there in this church I was ministering at, I found out that they don't, you know, wearing a ring was taboo. So I asked them, I said, so when you guys have a wedding, what does the bride and the groom have? What do they exchange? Oh, we exchange watches. I said, what? Watches. Not rings, watches. Yeah, we exchange watches. I said, yeah. The last time I was thinking in my mind, when you go to the jewelry store, you find watches there too. I said, shoot. Crazy thinking. Works, traditions. It just mess people up. Don't wear this, don't wear that. Don't put on makeup. Oh, Lord, have mercy. As if makeup is going to send somebody to hell. You know, and they will quote Peter. Don't be given to this. Don't braid. I say, it says, yeah, clothing too. Why don't you walk around naked? Tradition works. It just messes people up. It's not what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about you recognizing that there is an ability in the good works of God that moves in a realm of the supernatural that is beyond natural living. And that ability has been put inside of us. For we are His workmanship. Wow. And where did He create us? In Christ Jesus. To do what? Unto good works. Which God had ordained that we should walk in them. We'll stop there tonight. I trust that as we've looked at the word of the Lord tonight, that different things have been said tonight that may have triggered certain other things in your mind. But my hope, my trust, my belief is that whatever it is has been triggered in you brings you to that awareness that to live the God kind of life, you have to have that great God working it in you. I've had vehicles that have been healed, so to speak. I had an Eagle Premier. Well, that car was expensive to run at that time. A transmission problem too. How did it heal? Laid hands on it. Why did you lay hands on it? Because the spirit of faith rose up inside of me. But that's what I should do. So I laid hands on my vehicle and it got healed. Go figure. The spirit of faith rise up in you, rise up in me in this last of the last days to do and to say things that in the natural make absolutely no sense whatsoever. But it will be by the Spirit of God. And we will get the God kind of result. If you receive it, say yes and amen. Father, we are thankful for grace and for mercy. We're thankful, Lord of God, that you're going to give us experiences in these days that will dumbfound us and dumbfound those that see the happenings around us because they are not defined by the natural. They cannot be explained. You took a Philip. You moved them from the desert to Azotus. In a split moment, not definable by natural laws, you stepped on a cloud and went up into the heavens. Not defined or explained by natural laws. You walked on water. Can't be explained by natural laws. You fed the multitude. 5 loaves and 2 fishes and ended up with 12 baskets full, more than you started with. Not explained by natural laws. You turned water into wine. not explained by natural laws. You're a God who filled my freezer all year long with meat and fish, chicken, all that I needed for groceries. And for a whole year, we fed so many people from the same freezer, and the freezer remained full, not explained by natural laws. The God who caused me to drive a Chrysler Newport vehicle on empty, an hour to school and an hour back home, for 5 straight days, not explained by natural laws. You have not called us to live based on natural laws. You break the rules. We ask, you know, God, that you will help us, oh God, to break the rules and not be limited by our finite mindset and thinking, but that we will move and live our lives by the mind of Christ, that our imagination will be expanded to see things and behold experiences by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We'll see also, God, see men and women set free from limitations, blind seeing, deaf hearing, the dead raised, and that, oh God, normative, just normal living. We need a reset. Lord, we need a reset because our dependence has become on natural things. We've become mere men by our thinking, and we forgot that you are the God who's raised us together to sit with our Lord Jesus Christ in heavenly places. You've made us sit. Lord, oh God, this day we take our seat and we rule and we reign in Christ Jesus. Help us be the people you designed us as your workmanship to be. The warranty is not expired. Fix us, Lord. Fix us in our thinking. Fix us in every aspect. We are fixable. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, that you are doing it. Whatever sickness has invaded our bodies, we reject right now, because this is the temple of the living God. Defiling things don't come into this temple. Let all things now align themselves to the integrity of the Word of God so that we can live life fulfilled, live in newness of life. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for every one of you that took time to participate this evening in this study and discuss in the Word of God. Be reminded once again that special meetings are coming up this Friday at 6:30. Please spread the word. Let your friends, family, everyone know that this conference is coming up. And do participate. Come ready to hear. Come ready to receive. Come ready to be blessed of the Lord in a mighty way. I know you will. But spread the word with others. And at this time, let us honor God with our giving. And while you are getting your offering ready, trusting in God, to bless that which you have. For his word says to us that he causes our seed sown to be increased. Amen. And by the way, if I've not mentioned it, and I don't think I've mentioned it this time around, this weekend is going to be Pentecost weekend, and this is one of those festivals of God, holy days of God, the feast of weeks, the feast Shavuot of 7 weeks, the feast, it's a feast of harvest, but it is also a feast where God says that man should not come to him empty-handed. And I'll share why that is so. So have a very special offering. The kind that you want God to multiply. God multiplies our seed sown. And there are three key gatherings that God holds on to regarding this, as the feast of unleavened bread or Passover, followed by Pentecost, and then the last one is the feast of tabernacles. These three, you don't come empty-handed. You come with a special gift, an expression of thanksgiving unto God. God comes and multiplies your seed during this time. So take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. These are three feasts that God physically, in a real sense, if you want to put it that way, watches your seed. What are you going to do? And make sure that you have a mighty harvest. So I want to encourage you to plan, especially if you are a man. So, if you have boys, sow for them. Sow for your children also. And just let this be a very special time. And then watch how God multiplies your seed sown. I can vouch to the goodness of God and the blessing of God. Not because of how much money I have in my pocket. In spite of that, I get to do things to the glory of God. So, plan on that. It's 2020. Have a perfect vision in God. Let's honor God with our giving. I said 2020 because of the time. Go on, play the promo. It's 2021, and it's your day for the victory. Bless you, those of you watching on YouTube and Twitter and whatever else. You may be watching Facebook Live. Look forward to seeing you this Friday. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. This time I'm going to say hi to those who are on the Zoom line. Good night. Love you. All right. Hello, Sister Carol.